Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Domestic Boyfriends Podcast. My name is Dean, and always with me is my beautiful co-host, Vincent. How you doing, Vincent?
I'm in the MCU now.
Are you a movie character? Are you a superhero?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. So today's episode, we're going to be talking about the brand new Marvel epic, Deadpool and Wolverine. The third installment of the Deadpool trilogy, possibly quadrilogy, possibly until he dies. Who knows? But we are going to be talking about this movie. We're going to be going over some points that we have here. And yeah, hope you guys enjoy. To start us off, the plot. To go over a couple things, if you don't remember the end of the last movie, they do a pretty good... I said do-do. they do a very good explanation about 15 minutes in of why that's a big thing. Because timey-wimey things are not good... in the MCU now, because it creates branching timelines and multiverses and all of that stuff. So this movie is about Deadpool, spoiler alerts, Deadpool trying to get his universe back because it's dying. And in this, they introduce the concept of an anchor being, which I'll give my opinions on that later. But if a significant person in your universe dies, it ceases to exist. So for Deadpool, that is in the future where Logan dies in Old Man Logan. So his universe is dying, and the TVA is trying to coerce him over to their side and put him in the main Marvel MCU universe. So it's a big adventure about that. Vincent, I don't know if you want to do... This is like slight spoilers. We're not going to go into like great detail. Vincent, I don't know if you want to give your overall rating and feeling on the plot before we get into more specifics.
I thought the plot was interesting. I thought it was like pretty good how they like handled it. Anytime anything... has to do with time travel, it always is a concerning thing. Everyone mm-hmm. understands that and agrees with it. I don't think that necessarily means that like anything that does it should get special treatment, but at the same time, like, it's time travel is like one of the worst like mechanics, abilities, or whatever you want to call it, that you can introduce to a story, just because the amount of like potential plot holes and like taking people out of the story it can provide.
Yeah.
That being said, how the MCU has done that so far with like Loki and like sort of some degree like Endgame, I liked how they handled sort of like Loki's stuff with the TVA a bit more than how like Endgame handled time travel. But like in this one, I think overall like it was pretty fun with it. It did a pretty good job. And I think the main reason why that it worked so well for it is because it's a Deadpool movie and it wasn't really trying to take itself too seriously.
Yeah. No, I definitely have to agree with that. It, in comparison to how some movies or universes kind of write themselves into a hole a lot of the times when they do stuff like this, branching out and creating this massive continuity that everybody has to keep track of, along with whatever is in their main universe. It always gives people a headache. It makes people disinterested. I think that's why a lot of people are so disinterested with it now, because they don't want to get into that. But I definitely think this movie, it did it fine. I do have some stuff to talk about on some of our later points with when it comes to like timeline relevance. because that was a whole conversation me and my friend had when we were leaving the movies. But as as time has passed, we're kind of understanding where everything stands. But to get into more of like the nitty gritty stuff, I think it's interesting how they used, because it's not a disconnected universe anymore, like where the Netflix shows would never be referenced in the MCU, but the MCU was referenced in the Netflix shows, at least to some extent. Like, they never said the Battle of New York was the Avengers, but they always said the incident in New York, and you kind of just got the inferences that it was when the Avengers fought off the Chitauri. Now, in this one, you know, we get it. It's the TVA, they're fighting Deadpool, like, they show up at his door. And, like, although we don't get the exact characters we've seen in Loki, I haven't seen season 2, so I wouldn't know if this guy's in it. But from season 1, we don't get Mobius, we don't get any of the other characters, at least to my extent, from season 1. So it's a whole, like, it's new people. It's a different section of the TVA that we get explained. It's the Rogue Ops area. So it's interesting how they did it. Do you think that any of this will have future implications on, did you watch season 2 of Loki?
I haven't watched season 2 of Loki. Okay. We do have at least like one character, in this, in Deadpool and Wolverine, that was in Loki season 1.
Is it who?
It's Hunter B-15.
Ah, oh, okay, yeah, of course.
But she's the only one.
Yeah, because it wasn't like we didn't get Mobius. We didn't get what's her name? I forget her name. I only know her because of Marvel Snap.
Miss Minute.
No. I forget. It'll come to me eventually, or maybe not. But besides her, we don't get anybody else, which I think is fine. I'm interested to see the implications of some of the stuff that they showed and like how that works out in the MCU, because I guess this is the headache of it all, is like, if this is how it functions, right, where there's an anchor being, right?
Yeah.
Then how does, like, are we going to keep track of that? The implications of Thor holding Deadpool? Who knows?
If we end up seeing in, like, Secret Wars or whatever, in, like, 3 years' time, we see Thor have his long hair again, not have a different eye, and just holding Deadpool like he held Loki.
Yeah.
Then good on them for setting that up.
That is years.
I could care
years
less.
Years of practice. Years of yeah. plot.
Anchor beings.
Yes. Anchor beings.
I think it's stupid.
Yeah, I am also of this. So my friend told me about this a while ago, that this was something that they were supposed to be setting up. And I was just like, well, that kind of sounds stupid. Now, this, I could be wrong, but they did this same exact thing with Nexus beings in the comic books, where they introduced it in the MCU. And then, like, recently in comic books, they explained that Wanda was a Nexus being, which meant that she doesn't get affected by the works of, like, her reality and, like, the effects of what happens around her, which I think is stupid. It's one thing to say someone is super powerful, but, like, to give them feats like that, and it coming from the MCU kind of, like, dumbs it down for me, honestly. I don't like the concept of anchor beings, and I feel like they're going to introduce it to the comic books. I don't know who it would be, because, you know, comic books are whoever book you're reading. Like, that's either your perspective.
I've never heard of Nexus beings. I'm sorry. I don't mean to, like, pull this off, but, like, I just looked up Nexus being something like, oh, who else could it be? Scarlet Witch, sure. King of the Conqueror, yeah, I was prepared for that. Jean Grey, absolutely. I was not prepared for Abraham Lincoln of Earth 9002 and John F. Kennedy of 9007.
You see Queen Elizabeth the First?
Merlin? Actually, Merlin's a pretty cool one.
I don't know what qualifies these guys or why it's specifically them, honestly.
Clones of Nexus beings are still Nexus beings. This is why comics are cool, guys.
Yeah, I have no idea. That Marvel Wiki just tanked my freaking RAM. Holy crap, that was crazy. Never going back on there again. So it's an okay concept. It pretty much just makes them like a godly being is what it is. Yeah. But anchor beings are plot devices, which comic book characters already are. So to give the writers this tool, I guess it's okay. It's just, I don't know. It feels like we're getting Mary Sue's, you know, like, yeah. Oh, Wolverine can't die. Well, he did, in spoilers for the movie, bringing a different Wolverine into their universe apparently fixed it. Makes me feel like if they did it for the main MCU, that it does it like, oh, it's Spider-Man. So that means Spider-Man can't die. That means that Peter Parker is always going to be a Mary Sue, and he's always going to be alive and not die in a situation. It's going to spoil the fun of there being any like tension.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess in a way we kind of have seen this, not necessarily in the MCU, but I guess it is connected to the MCU now because of the last movie. But, like, in, like, the inverse of things for this, which honestly I do like quite a lot more, with, like, Into the Spider-Verse, right?
Oh, where, canon events, yeah.
Yeah, where it's a canon event. Which is also like somewhat stupid in my opinion, but honestly, I also like it.
I feel like canon events can work if it's just like the idea of whatever it is. Like for Peter, for like the different version of the Spider-Man, it's not like, oh, like Uncle Ben has to die. So if you were born with an Uncle Tom, then it's not going to work. Like it's just like a significant person. Like impacts their death impacts the spider person.
Yeah. Like, and it also like they did say like it is specifically like vague enough to for it to like fit in with more people.
Yeah.
It isn't necessarily Uncle Ben that has to die.
It's
someone that they hold near and dear that like is trying to instill values into them
to die. So like for Miguel, I think it was supposed to be his daughter. And then, of course, for Miles, it's supposed to be his father, which we'll see in the next movie.
And Gwen, it's her Peter.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm okay with it, but it also... So in the comic books, the current iteration of the Ultimate Universe, the Ultimate line of comics, which is amazing. If you want to jump on something right now, Vincent, jump on this. I'll jump on these because it's still in the earlier issues. You could probably get everything in trade still. It is so good. So it's built off of a couple other ideas. So you have to know some context. So, a side tangent here, people, get used to it.
Is it built off the old Ultimates at all?
Kind of. So what happened after, God, I'm going to take you back to like 2016. In the second Secret Wars, when Doom took the powers of Molecule Man Owen Reese and reshaped the multiverse into this one big planet called Battleworld,
that was when he became like
God
Emperor Doom.
He held the power. He had
the power cosmic.
Well, no. So what happened was this puts in perspective how powerful Molecule Man is. Is he gave him his power? He gave him a portion of his power, and he was just like, "Here, you're smarter than me. Fix the universe, right?" Because Molecule Man can, he can affect, he's a reality warper. He can affect everything on a molecular level. He can like go toe to toe with like cosmic entities because his power is manipulation of like, he moves reality and everything itself like I move a pencil on a piece of paper. Like he can literally craft whatever he wants to using his power. So he gave it to Doom, or at least part of it to Doom, and then Doom created Battleworld because that's all he could think of doing, is taking what's left and making a new. Very selfishly, I might add. But at the end of that story, what they did was they recreated the multiverse by using the pieces of the multiverse that was left that made up Battleworld.
Mm-hmm.
Molecule Man, what he did was he instilled... It was interesting because it was like they had a process for it all. Molecule Man used his abilities to like keep it steady and to keep the idea of it as a concept that was like an actual physical orb that you could hold. And then Franklin Richards, the son of Reed and Sue, who also has reality manipulation abilities, poured his power into it and gave it the life that it would need to create its universe itself, right? And then Reed Richards literally used his arms like slingshots and tossed those fucking balls out into outer space. And then that populated the multiverse again, right? In the comic books, they use this as an excuse for why Reed Richards, Sue Storm, and their two children were still out in space in the multiverse and not on Earth. When in reality, it was a good way for them to stop the Fantastic Four books and for them to not introduce them due to, like, movie right reasons.
Yeah.
But they were doing that for a long time. They were literally just chucking stuff out, and they were exploring the multiverse, right? Now, this took a long time. So over time, you know, they were exploring and doing their own thing. The people who survived on Battleworld got chucked into... They either died, or they got chucked into the main timeline, or they went back to their own universe, right? The Ultimate Universe didn't exist yet, so Miles just went back to the main 616.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the main Ultimate Universe, Earth 1610, did come back. It came back in all of its crazy disgustingness, honestly. And we got a couple storylines that involved it. Which was also the storyline that involved original Earth 616 Miles, who's not named Miles Morales, and that's why Peter couldn't look him up when he left the Ultimate Universe the first time, because he's essentially a different person. Which goes kind of along with the whole multiverse thing and people not looking the same and all that type of stuff. But long story short, the Ultimate Universe does exist, but this one is built from the Maker. So the Maker is Ultimate Reed Richards. He's a guy who tried to be a hero. He became a villain. Fucking crazy guy.
He looks terrifying.
Yes. So he ended up in the main Marvel Universe after he kind of just escaped Battleworld and just kind of like he laid low. But he always had this intention of wanting to go back to the Ultimate Universe and doing something. We didn't know what it was. It was like 5 years of buildup. He ended up getting a piece of the Ultimate Universe Venom symbiote somehow, and he was able to like reconstitute it using actual Clintar DNA. And using that, he was able to do a couple other things. He fought the champions and a bunch of other stuff. But the start of the Ultimate Universe, the new Ultimate Universe, the new Ultimate Universe is, it's numbered differently, but it's the same numbers as the original. It's 6160. No, it's not. It's 6160. So the new Ultimate Universe, it was a universe that existed, right? It's actually supposed to be identical to Earth 616 in many ways. But essentially what happened was the maker cultivated a bunch of like a bunch of equipment and a bunch of technology from the Illuminati, who still exist. And he created a portal, and the portal was to this new universe. So he went into this portal, he went to the new universe, and his plan was to stop canon events from happening so he could manipulate the world into being how he wanted it. So he was like, he literally, like, he became the president, or like, he became friends with the president. He's the one who stopped JFK's assassination. He did all types of shit, right? Along with that, he also stopped things from happening, such as Peter getting bit by a radioactive spider on a school trip. I think he stopped Thor from ever leaving Asgard. He stopped the gamma bomb he didn't stop the gamma bomb. He changed how the gamma bomb happened in this universe, and he recruited Bruce Banner, the Hulk, to his side. It's crazy, all of the things that are different, because you see some of your favorite heroes as villains and vice versa and everything. But that's that he recreated a universe in his image by changing canon events. Which is interesting, because the current stories that are going along are them trying to fix that and them trying to make a world of heroes to fight the maker. So I recommend, if you guys aren't reading that, it's a really good read. There's not too much you have to keep up with. A lot of its backstory is told. You don't have to keep up with the old Ultimates universe or anything like that. It's a good starting point.
The old Ultimates universe, weird.
Yes, no, I'm glad that they are not doing any of that stuff. Everything seems perfectly fine now. A couple people have died, but besides that, it's not as weird. At least so far. Slight spoilers. I don't think this one's a Hank. I think we start off with a Scott. So it's a little, it's a little bit better. It's really interesting the way that they've taken some of it. Anyway, to move past that, I don't like the idea of anchor beings. I don't like Mary Sue's.
Like, it's someone significant to the world, right? It's someone that, like, saved the world in, like, a very major way, right? Usually.
Not even that. It's just a being whose existence is tied to the universe.
So it could just be a random person who, like, gets hit by a car, and then all of a sudden, sorry, your universe is dead.
I think that's the concept they were going for, because, like, so many universes just die naturally, and it's because, like, this random person. It's just this time, you know, it just happened to be Logan from, you know, the movie.
Yeah. There is a fun theory for who the anchor being is now that I will bring up later, because... I want to avoid spoilers until we cross the threshold.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I do think it's fun the way that they do it. They take a lot of liberties when it comes to how they went with the story. I had fun. I think the cameos that we got were pretty awesome. I'll leave that for the references area. If that's okay with you. Cassandra Nova was not the person I expected, though. We can talk about that now. She's so obscure to a normal audience that when I saw that she was introduced as the big bad, I was like, why?
No, it was so weird. I will say about this movie, and this isn't spoilers at all. This is just like, saying like the demographic that like really that needs to see this movie, that truly does, because I know that a lot of people have started hitting the point, and like I've even hit the point now a little bit where like I'm kind of tired of the MCU. It's been getting worse and worse at times. There's still like good stuff that comes out with it. Moon Knight, my boy. Mm-hmm. But it's the same as like most content nowadays. It's just coming out so fast. There aren't these big gaps that actually like let me that allow me to be excited for things. It's just I have to be excited for it because it's going to be coming out all of a sudden next week.
Yeah.
But as far as like what this, who this movie was made for, like this was made for obviously like current Marvel fans and whatnot, because it does continue the storyline overall of what they're going to be, like what will be important going forward in the MCU. Yeah. But this movie especially was made for comic book fans and especially fans of the early MCU and everything that went alongside.
Even before then. I think before we had pre-MCU. I think this definitely goes to pre-MCU fans. I think people who range in between, you know, late 20s to I'd even say early 40s that were consuming superhero media when it was coming out in the late 90s, early 2000s, this is for you. This is like your hurrah.
There's no doubt in my mind that like anyone in that age demographic, even like about to hit their 50s.
Yeah, I was just giving a broad stroke just to
like the. I don't think that outside of the people who just find Deadpool annoying, I don't think there's really going to be anyone that doesn't really like this movie.
Yeah, it is a very fun movie. You kind of have to suspend disbelief for some things or, like, not look too far into it when it comes to, like, some of the references or, like, the implications of some of these things.
And if you don't find Ryan Reynolds funny, like, don't watch the movie.
Yeah.
At this point, Ryan Reynolds is synonymous with, like, what Deadpool is.
Yeah, exactly. Very similar to how RDJ is with Tony Stark and... We're not going to talk about it.
Yeah. Did you hear about what Ryan Reynolds' original idea for what Deadpool 2 was going to be? Or, sorry, Deadpool 3 was going to be?
I think I remember... Alpha Cop? No, explain it.
Okay, so Alpha Cop... And it's unfortunate that this just can't exist in our current day and age because of the way that, like, leaks and everything go. Because the minute that anything in secrecy is trying to happen, it's just going to be online. Mm-hmm. Almost immediately.
Of course.
But the original idea was that... Instead of promoting that Deadpool and Wolverine is coming, or Deadpool 3 is coming... The studio was going to be putting up promotional material for this movie about Alpha Cop, who is about a cop that is two guys that sharing one brain and work together to make the perfect cop. Two cops, one brain, all balls, as he put it. And it's going to be like an absolutely horrendously bad movie, very fake. And then like only 10 people in America are going to go watch it. And like the first 10 minutes will like go, and then all of a sudden the Marvel logo will kick up, and then Deadpool and Wolverine starts.
Interesting.
But like, you know, quite the fake putting out so there. Much effort into that and then having it like a week beforehand get spoiled. Cause in the interview that happened, they brought up, and I didn't even realize this happened cause I was a kid, so I wasn't really on the internet that much. Did you know about the fact that X-Men Origins Wolverine is one of the most pirated movies of all time?
What?
Because the movie got leaked online like a month before it actually released, and by the time it released, it had already been viewed like 10 million times or something.
What the heck? I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah, no, it's insane.
The more you know.
I would have loved to see Alpha Cop.
Yeah. That's so interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's definitely something that couldn't survive in this day and age because
that's kinda sad.
Yeah. Even like something fun like that to throw audiences off. Unless they just didn't do test screenings, which, you know, wouldn't work.
Yeah. Fortunately, despite like also, despite like where we currently are, I'd say this movie was like pretty like leak free for the most part. I'm sure they existed, but like
they had fake leaks for the movie.
Yeah.
So, they had a lot of funny ones for like the end credits.
That's the thing to do, and like that's what like current like even the MCU like what's the name of the guys who do the Avengers movies?
The Russo brothers.
Yeah, the Avenger brothers. They like their whole thing, especially with Tom Holland, where they just like send out fake scripts to people.
Yeah, so they can't actually. I love
the idea of just flooding the internet and the media with tons of fake leaks that all sound either super ridiculous or potentially plausible.
I mean,
so you just don't know what's real.
It kind of would make it makes a lot of sense, and it kind of fit Deadpool pretty well because, you know, the whole idea of it came from Ryan Reynolds, most likely, leaking the studio footage of Deadpool. And it making and
people. You'll never tell. Even though he was strapped to a lie detector being interviewed by Hugh Jackman.
It's pretty sad that we couldn't get anything like that, but I don't think it hurt. It hurt the plot. I feel like people are pretty spoiler free about it for the most part, even now, except if you go on TikTok, then people are like literally playing the movie. Which is kind of sad. But I mean, it had so much hype behind it, it had so much investment, so many years, like seeing the interviews with people like Wesley Snipes, Chris Evans, and even like Daphne Keene when she talked about it, like it's a lot of love that went into this movie. Like Deadpool has been this passion project for a lot of people, and they've been able to use it at this as this creative outlet to really get what they want out of these characters, and what, like, even if it's like just fun stuff, stuff that they couldn't do because, you know, back in the time they were just caring about money makers, but now they can do both. I think this was a great movie. I would rewatch it. I would rewatch this movie in a row. I'd watch it like 10 times in a row. It's a really fun watch.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think I'm going to grow tired of this movie in a very long time.
It is very, honestly, it is very funny. Even the slow parts are like not that bad.
Yeah, I honestly think that this is probably my new favorite Deadpool movie. I think
it wholeheartedly
any of the previous ones like in the teeth.
I probably put this in like my top five Marvel related anythings, probably like top five comic book anythings as well, just because of how fun it is. It doesn't take itself too seriously, but that's up to people's interpretation. But to just get us through some of the other points, I put music on here. I only put music on here because of the opening? Yeah.
Oh my god.
It was
Mortal Kombat much, right?
It was so fun. It didn't really hit me until the end that he did that all with Logan's body. I saw him take it apart. I didn't register it while he was doing that. I think the dancing really threw me off.
Dude, when he put on his arms and just like went Wolverine and then just couldn't handle like actually getting it out of people.
Yeah, he was just like, ah. So,
how does he do this?
The grabbing the
vertebrae with the skull.
Yeah.
My God.
NSYNC had to have made so much money because that song is on repeat for people. The choreography was amazing. It wasn't Ryan that danced it. It was a professional dancer who auditioned for it. It was pretty awesome. I don't know if there's any musical cues that I cared about as much as that, but it was definitely the light of that beginning is the reason why I could probably watch it so many times, is because as soon as the movie would end, I'd be like, all right, cool. We're going to go back into the dance number. But yeah, it's that's all I wanted to talk about with music. But to get into what I know a lot of people want to talk about, and here are the references slash cameos that we have in this movie. We have a lot.
Spoiler warning. This is your last chance.
So I'm going to go down the IMDb pit. Just so we can look at this in order. The most obvious one, of course, Hugh Jackman himself. He's part of the movie. Cassandra Nova. I can go on a tangent about her. I just don't know why she's the main villain. It doesn't make any sense. Do you know Cassandra Nova?
Very, very vaguely.
All right, guys.
I've definitely read comics with her in it.
All right.
And I had the same reaction that you did, which was, oh, really?
We're going to sit down for 5 minutes while I explain who she is. She says that she is Charles Xavier's sister. That is kind of right. In the MCU, they might change it. But let me, when I tell you that this is probably the most convoluted character they could have introduced that is X-Men related, they would have had an easier time having Onslaught as the villain. And Onslaught is the mind baby of Magneto and Charles Xavier. Cassandra Nova is technically the biological sister of Charles Xavier, but she is what is called a Mumma-Dry. And a Mumma-Dry is this ideology from the Shi'ar. The Shi'ar are bird people that are pretty intertwined with the X-Men, specifically Charles Xavier, because he be fucking bird people. And it's this concept of that in the womb, every baby... it sounds so stupid saying it out loud. In the womb, every baby fights its, like, exact opposite, and they have to win in order to survive. So think of, like... You're born, right? Conception happens, and then you're in the gulags. Like, you have to fight your evil self to exist.
Oh my God, it's like how in the Fairly Odd Parents, whenever a fairy's born, there's a nega fairy made.
Yeah, exactly. Be careful saying that word.
Oh, anti-fairy.
But
that's the anti-chin.
So that's the concept, right? But it's a lot worse, apparently, when you're a mutant. So when Charles was a baby and he was fighting Cassandra in the womb, he, like, used his powers and, like... So the Mumma-Dry are psychic beings, right? So they're psychic beings that just exist. And if you need to fight them off... But usually it's not this... It's usually not this actual physical being. It's, like, a mental thing, right? Well, because Charles Xavier... Like, apparently, at a very young age of an infant, like, his mutant ability was so strong and, like, his mind was so powerful, it created a second being, which is not common. So, he used his powers. He was, like, choking her, but then he also, like, did, like, a solar flare. In the comic panel looks so funny. Charles Xavier baby killing Cassandra Nova. It looks like he is literally it's so funny. Okay, this needs to load. Go ahead and look in Discord real quick, because this is Charles Xavier landing the final blow. He's doing a super on Cassandra Nova as babies in the womb, to give you a better picture of how this went. This is him throwing hands along with doing his special move against Cassandra Nova as a baby in the womb. But that Cassandra, to make this very long, convoluted story short, I also want to show you Charles Xavier's mother while this shit is happening in her stomach. It literally looks like something outside, like from The Boys or Invincible. She has a glowing stomach. It's crazy. But to make this long story short, he exiles her from his mother's body. But she ends, I don't know how this happens. I haven't read the comic in ages, but her being, like, her physical being gets, is like in a sewer. I think they flush her down a toilet or something like that. But she's like found in a sewer, and she like gains strength by like sapping psychic energy off of like rodents and humans that are down there. Long story short, she becomes the supervillain, and she has exactly all the opposite ideals and thought processes of Charles Xavier. So where Charles has this compassion for humans and mutants, right? Cassandra has none of that. Cassandra actually lacks the feeling of she lacks empathy in general. Are you watching the mom fall down the stairs from the Dragon Ball Z battle that's happening in her stomach?
No, it's just like I couldn't remember what the Charles Xavier thing reminded me of, and it's the scene from like the last episode of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Where Ozai. I mean, that's pretty much what he did until he didn't. But Cassandra Nova, she grew up and she's the same age as Charles, and she has all of his abilities except plus, because she's a mama dry. And, it wasn't until recently that like Jean Grey forced her brain to have empathy, and it didn't work out the way that they really thought it would work out, because instead of giving her these higher emotions and it being good for her and her becoming a good person, she found enjoyment in what she was already doing. So when she would kill people, she would feel nothing, right? Nowadays, whenever she kills something, she finds joy. So we turned this like nihilist killer into a psychopath. So that's how it is in the comics. It's pretty interesting. But Cassandra Nova is such a, we keep saying it, she's such a weird person for them to pick.
I will say, the choice of character aside, because like obviously, you know, it's weird, we just went over it. Actually, like seeing her in like the movie and like her powers especially, she's cool as fuck.
Yeah, Emma Corrin did a great job of playing Cassandra Nova. Also, the hand thing, that's comic accurate.
She unlocked a new fear for me.
Yeah.
I never thought, like, you know, somebody's, like, fingers coming, like, through my skull and then out through my nose and then them dragging me from that was going to be a thing that I would have to be worried about. But now, like, my like, dream brain is, like, I had a nightmare recently where that happened. It was not good.
Oh, that's what her abilities are. Okay, so the reason she can do that is, along with being a high-level telepath, she also has DNA manipulation. So at first, I thought it was just the fact that she was, like, doing that to your brain, like, psychically, so it felt like a hand was going through. No. She was literally manipulating your DNA for her hand to go through it. So, that is terrifying. In the comic books, she's doing that to some guy's belly, and he's like, oh! another person people were excited for. People knew this was coming. Daphne Keene, I'm going to just call her Laura Kinney, because she didn't have an X-23 costume, disappointingly. But she is X-23, a.k.a. Laura Kinney, a.k.a. Yeah. Girl Wolverine. Our favorite director, he actually made Vincent's favorite movie of all time, Chef, Jon Favreau. That's Happy Hogan.
You call him Jeff?
John Favreau.
Jeff Favreau.
We kind of have to talk. I'm going to talk about these in the order that they were all introduced. We can go through like the B-tier villains in a later after this. Chris Evans as Captain America. How confident were you that he was Captain America? Were you like 100% sure that he was Captain America when you saw it?
I didn't know like what to think.
I was like, that's Chris Evans.
I think my like immediate reaction was just, oh, cool. It's Cap. That's weird. What is he doing here? And then when he said the thing, I went with a friend of mine and I scared the shit out of her.
They're like, ah!
Screaming. She's like, what is going on? And then she leaned over to me and she's like, who is that?
It's Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
This is Prada. Oh man, flame on. I was a little sad that he had to die, but it was so funny to watch. The end credits was amazing. Chris Evans apparently was one of the highest paid people from this movie, and that kind of makes me a little sad, but I guess you're paying for the name now.
Well, I mean, have you heard about like what RDJ is getting paid?
Yeah, I mean it's just like, ridiculous. You know, I love for RDJ. The amount of time.
I love him so much. We literally just had an actor strike where the studios were saying that they can't afford to pay people a living wage, yet they can do this.
Yeah.
It's right? What? He has like two private planes now? An entire encampment as a base necessity?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little outrageous. Like,
good for him.
Yeah, but, you know.
And I know that he spreads it around.
Yeah. You know, I felt bad for Jennifer Garner, because not as many people got excited about Elektra.
I was completely unspoiled on the Elektra Blade and Gambit thing.
Yeah, I was totally... I didn't see any... I'm going to be honest. I was somehow properly not spoiled for, like, this entire movie. I saw the fake spoilers because people were posting them. I was surprised at every turn with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel bad for Jennifer Garner. Even like when they were doing whatchamacallit, when they were at D23 and like they announced everybody, it went Channing Tatum, Jennifer Garner, and then Wesley Snipes. It was like, woo, woo, woo. I was just like, oh, this poor woman is like, she's trying to reprise a role that she loved. But I thought she was good. They did really good choreography with her. You know, Elektra can't really take out a high level psychic, but it was awesome to see her back in a movie again as Elektra. Now, how would you feel? I feel like a couple of people have already asked this. How would you feel if we got Ben Affleck as a bigger Daredevil?
Blind Batman.
I would honestly be super hype. Oh shit.
Honestly, I'm just glad that Channing Tatum got to have his Gambit. His Gambit was like one of the highlights of the whole movie for me.
Yes, I am 100%. I'm 100% with you. Channing Tatum as Gambit was totally unforeseen for me. Just going to say that. But it was absolutely amazing. I don't think they could have done anything. Like, it's sad because what? It was... When did they say... When was it announced? Or when was the production started? Like 2015? Or like something any like of that. The stuff? Like super early. So like almost a decade ago. And he finally gets to live out the character he's been... He's literally said in interviews that he's like crafting the idea of Gambit with the director, with everybody on the team. And for it to just kind of get shelled is really sad. But he did a great job. It was amazing. Everybody makes fun of the Gambit accent, but it's so freaking good.
There's so many comments online of people like, and like TikToks of people just talking about like, you guys are like, I don't understand what he's saying. This can't be real. I am from New Orleans. I understand every fucking word that he said. He did it perfect. I'm like, oh my God. These people are talking like Gambit.
Yeah. I think he did great. I think if they did a Gambit movie, see, the thing about a Gambit movie is it wouldn't appeal to everybody because Gambit.
I
don't
know if I could deal with a whole movie.
It'd be so funny. And then everybody's from the Bayou, and then you wouldn't understand the entire movie. Her name was Ravonna Renslayer. Ravonna Renslayer, the person. Sorry, I just figured out their name. Ravonna Renslayer was the person from Loki that didn't appear. But it's so cool because beyond being an X-Men, like, Gambit has so much rich, like, history in the comic books. Like,
we have another Omega level mutant in the fucking MCU.
He's not an Omega level mutant.
Is he not? I thought he was.
No, he's not. He does have incredible potential, so much that he lobotomized himself. But he used to be a part of the Thieves Guild, which was like his whole entire family, like his like found family, and then like him and Storm are literally like, they're not even like this weird forced relationship. It's so awesome how their relationship is because he's like this found brother by her because like time bullshit, and she ended up, they ended up seeing each other when she was a kid, and like later on in life she like introduced him to the X-Men and everything, and it's this really cool dynamic that they have, and it's way beyond just like him and Rogue, but he's such a cool character. Channing did him justice with the short time we've seen him. I'm gonna make up a name for myself.
I don't know my daddy, but I'm sure I came out of his dick ready.
My brother has been saying that constantly.
the one line from this movie that I have been saying constantly now is the, that's what Scoutmaster Kevin used to say.
Your wife works for HR?
So funny.
Yeah. I think he did good. The suit was like 100% accurate, and I was not expecting that at all.
So good.
It was fun. He was cool. Was it a total accurate representation of how his powers work? I don't know. I just had a lot of fun with this movie. When we look at the rest of them, besides those guys, we have... of course, Colossus, Yukio, Teenage Warhead. I'm not saying the beginning part of that. All of the Deadpools. Do you want to go over Deadpools?
Yeah, absolutely. We had, you know, everyone was excited for her, Lady Pool, mm-hmm. not played by Taylor Swift. I still don't understand where the whole Taylor Swift thing came from outside of people being like, oh, she's blonde. But like, you know, they never said Taylor Swift was going to be it. I fucking love the fact that it was Blake Lively.
Yes. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds' wife. Kid Pool was played by, blanking on his kid's name, unfortunately, but Ryan Reynolds' child.
Mm-hmm.
Baby Pool was played by Ryan Reynolds' baby.
Yes.
Matthew McConaughey was Cowboy Pool. Nathan Fillion as Head Pool was hilarious.
Monk
with half a mouth.
Do you know about Peggy the dog?
Yes.
Okay. If you guys don't know,
the European's ugliest dog in the world.
2023 Britain's ugliest dog winner was Peggy the dog, aka Dogpool. Pretty awesome, honestly.
A natural on film too.
Yes. Who else? There was a couple other representative Deadpools, but, and there were also, there's like,
Nice Pool?
Yeah, there's Nice Pool.
Played by Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Gordon Reynolds. Who else? There were a couple other ones, like some other characters, like Azazel, Psylocke, a couple of the other like old X-Men characters weren't.
I can't even begin to describe to you how upset I was and how angry I was that they put Toad back in the MCU.
Why? It's Toad!
Dude, my only experience with Toad outside of, like, you know, the last time he was here in X-Men.
The last time he was here.
Was Ultimate Toad.
Oh.
Ultimate Toad is so fucking gross.
I understand now. You get a pass on this one. I get it.
I did like that Lamplighter from The Boys was...
Yeah, Aaron Stanford and his Pyro. Yeah. He definitely did a good job. Interesting that he was like the secondary antagonist of sorts. Shout out to my boy Blob. We definitely saw you there in the stands. No one could miss you, you big ass dude. Very, very interesting to see him back.
My boss is convinced that the Black Pearl is in the void. Because there's a pirate ship in the void.
Interesting. The Black Pearl.
I didn't know who Azazel was. I never watched X-Men First Class. So when he popped up, I was like, why did they make Nightcrawler red and evil?
Why is he red? What else? Do you want to going over the different Wolverines that we saw? So the first, what was it? I guess we'll just go over, shout out one that I'm going to forget about. One of the first ones is the Age of Apocalypse Wolverine, the one missing an arm.
Yes.
We get the comic accurate Wolverine.
Accurate Wolverine killed me, dude.
Short guy.
Beaver yeah. Dream Wolverine. Amazing.
He's so short and scary. He definitely bottoms. Who else? We have... I'm going to leave one specifically for the end. There is the one Patch. That is... Huh?
Patch?
Oh, no. Patch. Patch was cool. Which is just Wolverine when he is in Madripoor. When he just decides to gamble and be a criminal underlord. Or underworld. What do you call those people? Underworld? Overlord? I don't know.
He looks like if Wolverine decided to... It's like if Wolverine wanted to cosplay a James Bond character. But he only likes the villains.
Yeah, he's just like, you know what? I'm okay with being the villain this time. The one that's hanging on the giant X.
Yeah, that's Fever Dream Wolverine.
He is from X
Wolverine. Uncanny X-Men 251.
Yes, thank you. So he, that one was all practical effects. I don't know if you knew that.
That's cool.
No wonder
that X looks so good.
So it's him hanging on the X and then like all the skulls and all that. That's also practical effects. The background was the only CGI that they used. Who else?
John Bryan's Wolverine.
Yes.
The outfit where he fought the Hulk.
Yes. And seeing the Hulk very shortly was also very cool. And then I guess the last one is
the worst Wolverine.
Calverine.
And then Calverine.
Yeah, Cavalry. And then the worst
for Wolverine. Those who haven't seen the movie and are still listening, I did not call Henry Cavill's Wolverine bad.
Yeah, Henry Cavill's going to tweet
the main Wolverine that we deal with in this movie is noted as the worst Wolverine.
So I kind of want to talk about that. So when this movie was first announced and we got the trailers for it, and this was where we were to expect that this was the worst Wolverine for whatever it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest, I was let down by this guy's backstory. Because all of the fan theory sounded so much better. So his actual backstory is that one day he just left the X-Men because they pissed him off, and then the humans came and committed genocide. Right? That was it? People were like, oh, it's literally going to be Old Man Logan, where he like someone, like whether it be Mysterio or someone like uses their abilities and like manipulates him, that he's going to kill the X-Men. And his biggest regret is that he killed everybody just like an Old Man Logan. Like, that's like a big plot. That's a big part of Logan's character, even past the actual past the actual story of Old Man Logan and into the comics that he's involved in after that story happens. Like, that's something that eats at him every time. Old Man Logan, after Secret Wars, was in the main Marvel continuity, and it fucking hurt him. He was like, this is what my life would have been if I didn't murder everybody. Because the whole coup on... I think it's always explained that the whole coup that the villains had about working together to defeat the superheroes was built upon the fact that Mysterio was able to use his abilities to get Wolverine to kill all of the X-Men. Because when you wipe out a large group of superpowered beings, it made it a lot easier for them to deal with all of the other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because how powerful the X-Men were. Like, even before everybody got officially ranked as Omega level mutants, he killed Storm, he killed Iceman, he killed Jean. I can't even think of anybody else that is in that in that group that's Omega level. That's three Omega level mutants. Like, they themselves hold back so they don't destroy the world. So it kind of makes sense that the supervillains waited till all of them died. Especially when you look at like some of the other ones, just like Wolverine, like you can't really kill him that easily unless you're Magneto. And even then when you remove the metal, he just becomes more powerful. Forge is just Iron Man as a mutant power. And other people are super, super strong. So it makes sense there. I would have thought that it would have been a cool thing if they gave him more depth as like for his backstory. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I was kind of let down by his, like, why he's the worst one.
Yeah. No, I had pretty similar thoughts. It's just, he was just absent.
That's all. Yeah. I mean, honestly, he probably wouldn't be the worst, Shonen Dad, honestly. Because, you know, when Shonen Dads disappear, usually it's like the end of the world.
One thing
that, but it makes a cool MC.
Yeah, one thing that, like, confused the hell out of me, and, like, it somewhat comes from the fact that, like, I haven't watched, I haven't watched the X-Men movies in a long time, and I, like, I never watched, like, Days of Future Past or anything like that. Or Rise of the Dark Phoenix or whatever. I thought, like, Beast and, like, the others and stuff were dead. Based off of, like, what? The last X-Men movie I watched, I think, might have been X2, and then after that, I watched Logan.
Yeah. That's a scam.
And then, like, just being, like, you know, told in this movie, oh, yeah, Deadpool takes place in the same universe that Logan took place. But, like, in the first Deadpool movie, we saw that all the X-Men were just having a party. like,
yeah. Do you want to move on to the next point to talk about this then?
Yeah, sure.
We have the same, me and my friend had the same exact qualms with this movie. So I can like lightly fill you in on like what the movies that you've missed. Days of Future Past created a separate timeline because the main timeline, the Sentinels were going to kill everybody. So mm-hmm. Wolverine had his consciousness sent back into the past to warn Charles and all the X-Men to make sure that Raven didn't get captured by the government and experimented on and make these really adaptive Sentinels. So when he comes back to the modern day, he had changed the past and created this new timeline where all of these bad things didn't happen. None of his friends died. Now, this creates a third timeline, apparently, where the Dark Phoenix, First Class takes place in both timelines, but the one where Dark Phoenix happens, and what are the other one? X-Men... What was the one before Dark Phoenix?
Apocalypse?
Apocalypse, yes. So those take place in this like third timeline that exists because Logan went to the past and created this new timeline where First Class happens a little differently. Apocalypse, the finer details about Apocalypse and Phoenix and Dark Phoenix don't really align with this movie. Because we don't get older Charles and older, we don't get Logan. We get Logan in Apocalypse, I think. But we don't necessarily get anything relevant for him. So if you really want to look at it, you can look at this as after Days of Future Past canon, but not necessarily canon to the new ones. But I understand you might be kind of confused because in Deadpool 2, they showed us a scene at the X Mansion with the newer cast and the newer younger cast, which me and my friend have kind of boiled it down to it was just a reference and it's not canon, right?
Okay.
But we are kind of confused about it because Deadpool takes place in the past of Logan, but you know what confuses me, right? Is that in all of this, right, we're supposed to believe that Deadpool in his existence takes place in the same world that like the X-Men movies and like X2 happened and the school exists and apparently because the ending the like Logan is supposed to like the downfall of the Xavier school and like mutantdom happens within 5 years. So like the incident happens where Charles like fucking kills everybody with his abilities going haywire. That Logan takes place 5 years after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whenever that future is for Deadpool, like everything exists as normal as possible, right? The Colossus we see in the Deadpool movies is the Colossus we see in X1 and X2. The guy who had zero speaking parts somehow becomes the most talkative person in the world. But I do understand where that can make continuity issues for you, especially if you think too much about, like how the mutant cure works in Last Stand. You didn't watch Last Stand?
No.
Oh, in the Last Stand. Oh, dang, you missed like the worst one. Last Stand, they create a mutant cure from the mutant leech. If you know what Leech does, his mutant ability is that he takes away other mutant abilities.
I thought they made that from Angel.
No.
Oh, maybe I did watch Last Stand.
Yeah, so the mutant Leech...
No, they gave it to Angel.
Yeah, they gave it to Angel so he could get rid of his wings.
I have seen Last Stand.
Yeah.
Oh, I blocked that movie out.
He's the Juggernaut, bitch. You gotta remember that scene.
Yeah.
If you try not to think about the stuff like in depthly about Last Stand, then it kind of makes sense. But also, if you watch Days of Future Past, Cyclops, Jean, and everybody who had died previously is technically alive in the new timeline. So it's pretty confusing either way. If you think about it in a linear perspective with time, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Maybe they'll make an official timeline for us. But in this category, we also have the impacts this movie has on the MCU. And as avid MCU enjoyers, we watch every single movie that comes out about the MCU and every single show, as you know. That's a bold-faced lie. Vincent is a fake fan. I just want to bring it back out there. We're bringing that back. That this movie, because it references pretty much everything relevant with variants, timelines, multiverses, and even bringing back older variants of characters, I think this movie is big for the MCU's implications. Our implications in the MCU when it comes to characters, writing, stories. Now, that being said, do you have an old property you'd like them to revisit and just wave it away as this is a different universe, but it's still within the greater multiverse? Oh my god, we totally skipped over Wesley Snipes' Blade, and I feel like people are going to talk about that. We love Blade. He was cool.
Yeah, Blade was really fucking cool. The fact that he just took out a rocket launcher. He's like, it was the Punishers.
I am the... There ain't going to be no new Blade. I am the one and only Blade.
Wesley Snipes looking at fucking Tony Stark. I am the beginning of the MCU now.
Yeah. true.
Yeah, it is now canonically the first movie in the MCU.
But back to my original question. Is there an older property? I'm going to leave the Spider-Man out of this because I know you'll just go right to Toby or Andrew, specifically Andrew. Is there any other movie property within the MCU's new multiverse that you'd want them to bring back and just say, it's a different universe, but it's still canon? I'll give you some time.
That's rough. Because, like, I would have, but, like, the ones that, like, I would really want, like, we can now say are.
No, I'm saying, what would you want to bring back as, like, for them to make a new movie?
Oh.
And them just say, well, we can make a new movie because it is part of the MCU. It's just a different universe. It's not in the main one.
You know, there is one. And they had tried and, like, talked about getting it in.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
Ghost Rider.
You want a Ghost Rider 3?
I want a proper Ghost Rider 3. Or, like, a Ghost Rider, just a new Ghost Rider movie. Ghost Rider movie was really, really fucking good.
Do you want Nick Cage back as Ghost Rider? Or yes. Do you want this? Okay. All right.
Absolutely. Or, like, you know, bring in some new blood for it. But honestly, like, Nick Cage did a really fucking good job.
Yeah, I thought he was a good Johnny Blaze.
Yeah.
Personally, I have a big bias here. I don't care what people say about critiquing the villains and everything like that. I want another Fantastic Four movie. I want them to give Galactus a proper introduction. I know we're going to get that with the one that is going to come out, but I really like the casting of the original one.
Yeah.
I really liked how everybody interacted. Honestly, it's Chris Evans being the glue that held them all together because he plays a great Johnny. I feel like Johnny goes more towards Chris Evans, like, young, stylistic behavior that he naturally has, as opposed to, like, Cap's, you know, you're trying to play a 100-year-old man and be stoic and everything. I really would want another Fantastic Four movie with the people we have, maybe them having kids and going on a fucking space adventure.
I like that you immediately like told me no to Spider-Man because you knew I would immediately be like, oh, we need Spider Island.
Yeah, no, I specifically am denying you Andrew Garfield the most because I know like it would be like, oh, we're gonna give him like a black suit arc, or we're gonna give him like he's gonna do something with like the Clone Saga, or like a really good the Clone Saga. I was about to say a really good story, but the Clone Saga was not a very good story. But I know you would want to see some a sequel or like some type of completion to Andrew's specific Peter.
Honestly, like I would love to see him like be Peter. How would you, in his own standalone movie?
How would you work the dad into it though? Because his dad is alive.
See, I don't know, but also like, after like thinking about it a lot, and like you know me, I'm always thinking about Spider-Man, specifically Andrew.
Yeah,
I have the logo from Amazing Spider-Man 2 tattooed on my forearm.
Yep.
I fucking, like, I've never seen that movie. Probably never going to. But Andrew is always going to be one of my favorite Spider-Man. And I think truly that, like, even though he wasn't in it for a vast majority of it, No Way Home was his third movie. Because that resolved so much internal trauma for him.
Yeah, in a way, yeah, I do believe that. But remember, based
off of what he was telling us too, he kind of had his own black suit arc without having the suit.
Yeah. So would you want to see that time? Would you want to see that like a movie made for that? Whether or not he had the black suit or not, would you want to see a movie made of that? Like where we actually get the details of that? No?
I don't think I would, because when I think about like Peter losing his shit, when I think about Peter just not pulling his punches,
mm-hmm.
I think about, I don't remember which like Spider-Man comic line it was, but I think about like when Peter breaks into prison to beat the crap out of Kingpin.
When he's, this was like right after he hired the hitman to shoot Aunt May, because his identity got revealed after Civil War.
It was exactly because of that he broke in and like just
he was like him. He took off the black suit. He was just like, Spider-Man's not gonna be, it's not gonna kill you. Peter Parker's gonna. Well, no, yeah. So his identity was already known to the public.
Oh, I know.
But he took off. No, he went. He was literally in underwear and he was beating up the Kingpin.
Yeah, he's like, look, no one will stop me. No one can stop me.
He's like, no one's going to stop me. Holding
his fucking wrist up to his fucking
I could fill mouth. Your lungs with web fluid.
No one would be able to save you. Know how powerless you are. That's what I think of when I like think of like Peter losing his cool. Like that is quintessential, like terrifying Peter Parker. That is that is how terrifying Peter can truly be.
Yeah.
And that's just him. Like, I'm sure he still somewhat was holding back to some degree. Well, I guess it is the Kingpin, but still. Peter can just rip apart the MCU if he wanted. The Avengers if he wanted. No one can stop it.
Yeah, everybody that isn't, like, a super powerful god being, yeah. For the most part, yeah. I mean, think back when Otto originally took over Peter's body. He literally swung at Scorpion, like, nonchalantly with, like, I wouldn't say with all of his power, but without any sort of restraint to what he was doing, and he knocked his jaw clean off. And yeah. Otto's just like, holy shit. Like, I did not expect that.
Yeah.
This guy holds back too much.
And like, my big thing for not wanting to see that be a movie for Andrew would be that, like, I don't feel like we would get good resolution in the movie. Sure, like, he when he is, like, introduced in No Way Home, he is already, like, fixed some of his stuff and he's pulling his punches again and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't get full resolution of himself and the events that happen from two.
Yeah.
Until the end of No Way Home. And I just don't feel like it would be satisfying to watch a movie about a broken Peter and then ending it knowing this is still a broken Peter. He's just slightly more aware of what's going on.
Okay. But you would be cool if they brought him in to do like a new fun storyline or something like that, where it's like just like something like Spider Island, like nothing absolutely impactful on like his story necessarily, but just like a fun. I mean, honestly, I feel like Spider Island would be like, it would be like a zombie survival movie.
Yeah, no, it would be cool. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see him just like show up in the MCU again overall. Just like and like, honestly, like him and Toby showing up and just like helping out helping out
Peter. Tom?
Tom Holland, yeah. I kept thinking Peter.
Which Peter?
Tom Holland, Spider-Man. Like, and just, like, them all sort of, like, being sort of brotherly with each other again. Having that interaction in, like, Secret Wars would be cool. Because I'm sure we're still going to get, like, more variant stuff. Because now the Secret Wars that we're going to get is very, very different than what they were going for. With the fact that, Kang, the spousal abuser, is no longer in the MCU.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot different with who they bring in and where they take honestly, all of that.
I think it's going to be better for that, because this is going to be newfound territory and original stuff.
Yeah.
One other thing that I would love for them to actually, like, adapt, and it would give us more, it would give us, like, a proper Illuminati, too, would just... I would love to see World War Hulk. World War Hulk would be so cool.
Would you rather have World War Hulk or would you rather have the Maestro? Did I dumbfound you?
I'd still want World War Hulk.
Okay.
He gets his little crown.
Yeah, for sure. Now, given that and, given everything we've talked about, I guess we can talk, we've already kind of talked about this, but our last point is, our expectations for the future. So, given everything, like he said, with, like, what Secret Wars could be, you know, we've kind of already touched on it a bit, but there is so much that they could do with an Avengers-style movie using the multiverse as a tool. And it could all be super fun and involve so many actors and actresses that we have had in the past, reprising roles. Also, people maybe taking on multiple. There's no reason, maybe budgetary reasons, because they might count as two different people. That we get, you know, Chris Evans is both Johnny and Captain America. You know, maybe some, maybe it's not just Don Cheadle that plays, War Machine. Maybe we get some other people. Maybe we get, you know, the person who should have been War Machine in the first place.
Oh, I really hope that they don't just make Doctor Doom a Tony Stark variant. I feel like they're going to.
Yeah, I guess we could. I guess we can end it off kind of as a, like, our thoughts on the announcement of Tony Stark. Because they literally lined this up, like, literally perfectly. The movie happened, and then they had this all these announcements at D23. I have a couple opinions on this. If it is just Tony Stark, if it is just a Tony Stark variant and we're supposed to live with it and he is Doctor Doom, I will not like it. I think that's lazy. I think that's stupid. I think that's just a cash grab for them using a big name. If it is him and it is Doctor Doom who just looks like RDJ, I won't like that. I hate that as well. Like, it's actually Victor Von Doom. He looks like RDJ. I don't like that. I came across a video, and I kind of liked it. And the theory was that they are going to pull some type of version of the Return of Barry Allen from the Flash comics. The story of the Return of Barry Allen was Wally West was the Flash for... He was the Flash for... In real world, like, 5 years already. People were getting acquainted with him. People liked him. The fan base enjoyed him. And he was the Flash. And he made his own as the Flash. He already outgrew Barry's image and everything. But Barry just showed up one day. Barry became the Flash with him. He went and did things with him. And we all believed that Barry had just come back. Because if you remember, Barry died in Crisis, saving the world, saving the entire multiverse. Yeah. But... come to find out, Barry was acting weird. Barry had been doing things here and there, and it wasn't until it all accumulated that people were suspicious, and then it was revealed that he was Eobard Thawne. So Eobard Thawne dressed up as Barry and was trying to one-up Wally or something like that. Thawne's character is pretty odd, honestly, but when you look at it, I think they will do some type of version of that. I am personally of the camp that this will be a mislead. I do think this would be very bad for RDJ because they would literally just be using his face as a cash grab. So my thought process is in the movie, in Doomsday or whatever movie he gets introduced in, right? We will get this new Victor Von Doom that looks like Tony. And he is telling everybody that he is Tony. And he is saying that he's like from somewhere. Or I don't know exactly how they would put it. But halfway through it, or whenever the heel turn happens where he's actually Doctor Doom, we get a scene where he either takes off prosthetics or he takes off some type of visualizer technology. And it's actually a new actor that has been pretending to be Tony Stark in order to entice them, to get them to their side, or something like that. He's faking it out, right? Because if they didn't... imagine if they didn't show us who was under Doom's mask, and then all of a sudden we see that it's RDJ, without the announcement that RDJ was coming back. Could you imagine what would happen? The people who see this movie, if they did the leaks... like how they did with the Wolverine Deadpool movie, if they did that movie like how they did with that and no one was spoiled, the first fucking people who saw that movie in theaters would be holding a fucking secret. They would be holding this great secret. They have this knowledge that they brought RDJ back without spoilers, and that is the biggest plot twist in the MCU. Could you imagine how that would have gone if they didn't show us the identity of Doom and they just kept it a secret until the movie?
It would have been so much better.
It would have been crazy. Now, that being said, I'm interested to hear your thoughts. I don't hate RDJ. I really love Victor Von Doom. I love what RDJ has done for the MCU. I just don't think that putting them together with him being an existing casted character, although being deceased, I don't think that it was the best thing they could have done.
No, I don't think so either.
You can hear it in his voice, guys.
I just really don't know, like, what direction they're gonna take this. It seems like a very, very weird thing. Like I normally, like, when D23 happens for, like, Marvel, I get really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for some of it, like, I did, like, you know, they showed off, like, we got to see a look at, like, the Fantastic Four cast. We got to see Johnny in the Fantastic Four outfit, which looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
The Fantastic Four car was there, which was funny. It was in Deadpool and Wolverine too. I was geeking out.
Mm-hmm.
That car looks stupid as hell. But like the announcement of RDJ coming back, the fact that the Russo brothers are coming back for an Avengers movie too.
Yeah.
Like it feels like, you know, they had ended. Endgame had ended on such like an amazing and good note, and it was like a great way to like walk multiple characters and like actors out of the MCU, give them great send-offs, and make way for like new stuff. And now it just feels like
we're repeating everything.
Things weren't working out for a little bit, so they got to repeat the stuff again.
Yeah, that's my it's my biggest gripe with it all as well.
I wonder if he's gonna like do something about like do something with anchor beings. I wonder if like there's something with like Tony Stark
and specifically
like, Tony Stark variants to having to do with anchor beings. One of the fun fan theories right now is that the new anchor being for Deadpool's universe is Peter. And Peter is going to eventually, or potentially has already become, because like all the other Deadpools are like, yeah, every universe has a Peter, is going to become like the anchor being of the multiverse as
well. Oh my goodness.
Which would be so funny, but also like I could totally see them doing something like that.
That's so interesting. At first I thought you meant Peter Parker, but then I remembered our boy Peter.
Yeah, Peter Poole.
That would be so funny if it was something like that.
I can totally get behind the idea that Peter, because like, you know, if it weren't for Peter,
the universe
would have been destroyed. All the universes would have been destroyed.
Yeah, she would have destroyed the multiverse with it.
And people are saying that it's because Peter literally saved the entirety of the multiverse with his actions.
That
there,
he is now the anchor.
That he is now like the protector of the multiverse. He is
interesting.
Oh my god. What is the name of it? What is the name of it? Oh my god. What is the thing that... Oh wait, no. Never mind. I'm sure that I'm getting like DC confused in my head again.
You're okay.
Oh, I'm remembering like this like character, this like celestial being that's like that cares about like judgment,
the Living Tribunal, like,
truth and justice, and he has like a green cloak or something. But that's DC, isn't it?
The Spectre. Yeah, no, that's DC.
Not
necessarily truth and justice, but he cares. He is literally described as God's vengeance.
Yeah, but for, like, the universe, right?
Oh, for, yeah, well, he's God's vengeance, so he's...
Yeah.
it's over the entirety of everything.
In my head, I was like, oh, what if Peter becomes the next embodiment, the next like embodiment of the Spectre?
You know who so you remember Deceased? It was the line. It was like the zombie line. Do you know who became the Spectre at the end of that story? I'll give you a hint. He's in the Bat family, and Batman's Alfred, right? Dead. Yes, it was amazing. Yeah. He became the Spectre because the Spectre had died, and they needed, like, his physical form. Oh, they destroyed, Constantine had destroyed the Spectre's physical form to kill Trigon. Crazy sentence right there. But he ended up becoming the new Spectre because he was pissed off. He was literally so mad that, like, he was so angry that God was just like, you know what? You can have this. He's just like, take this W. Yeah. Alfred Pennyworth, everybody. But, yeah. We hope the best for the MCU, honestly. It's fun to watch it when it's fun. But it really sucks when we have to watch it. Not just for it being our podcast, but just so we could understand some things that really aren't that too big. And enjoyable. Like, I hate to beat a dead horse, but She-Hulk wasn't that enjoyable, but of course some of it will be relevant. But then again, we get stuff like Moon Knight, which was enjoyable through the entire thing. It had us wanting a new episode every time it came out. So we can only hope that we can get that type of joy out of the MCU again in some type of fashion. You know, we were in high school.
I'm looking forward to seeing New World Order.
Yeah, I hope that that is the start of the new MCU. The new MCU, I guess, era, but the same old feeling we used to get when we watched MCU movies. Because it's really sad that we don't have that same enjoyment anymore. And it's not like we don't try to have it. It's just harder due to multiple factors that we're not going to list out here because it's kind of just semantics at that point. But yeah, so I don't know if you have anything else. If you don't, we can wrap it up.
No, that's it for me.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Quick shout out to Ultimate Maverick X for doing our art. And if you ever want to get in touch with any of us on social media, you can go message us at our Twitter handles. I am at lying_mask.
I am Vincent Barlow 8.
And you can reach either of us at the Domestic BF Pod on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it nowadays. Feel free to message us any questions or anything or So thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Stay beautiful, everyone.